You ever have someone ask you something or say something, and it was so striking that you almost laughed out loud? But they meant it seriously. They made a comment that was just so serious, so heartfelt, perhaps so naive, and you just almost laugh. It's very important you don't laugh at people. That can be very hurtful. But especially as a pastor or an elder, when you laugh at people, it can be very hurtful. But I had one person tell me something that I did not expect. We were talking about challenges in life, like challenges in family life, like depression, like sadness, other different things we're all called to go through in this life. And this person just simply said, well, you're a minister, you don't have any problems. And that's when I was tempted to laugh out loud. Because ministers, elders, deacons, any office bearer still has problems. Some of you know my family. We have problems. I know your families. You have problems too. It's always interesting that somehow or another, though we know each other, we somehow think we can't relate to each other. And sometimes the devil weaves those lies. We deny what is the truth right in front of us. And I was thinking about that this week. How even though we know that's simply not true, we know ministers struggle. We know elders struggle. We know deacons struggle. We know everybody struggles. We somehow don't hold fast the reality of it. And I think there's two reasons sometimes we don't hold fast the reality of it. Number one, we don't remember the scriptures. We don't remember what the scriptures say. And I've often been struck how often you can inadvertently cause offense. Someone will come to you and talk about what a big sinner they are because there's some problem in their life or they've done something horribly wretched. And you simply say, I know. And they look at you like, how do you know? Or they get mad at you and say, how could you think that of me? It's like, well, you just said it. But I know that about you because Romans 1 is in the Bible and Romans chapter 3 is in the Bible. I know we're all totally depraved. I understand that. I know all the bad things about you already. They're already listed in the scriptures. They're already there in my heart as much as they are in yours. We forget what the Bible tells us about ourselves. And sometimes we're surprised when we see we are exactly what the Bible says. And sometimes we get surprised when we see that other people are exactly like what the Bible says they are. Totally depraved sinners. But also, not only do we forget what the Bible says about us, but we forget sometimes what the Bible says to do for one another. That is to pray. We forget to pray. We forget to pray for each other. We forget to bear one another's burdens. That can happen for a lot of reasons. We're selfish and sinful people. When we pray, it's easy to be concerned about ourselves and our own families and our own desires rather than the needs of others. We forget about other people. Sometimes we don't pray, or maybe others don't pray for us because we don't want them to pray for us. And this goes back to that first thing about what I mentioned about knowing what the Bible says about the fact we're sinners. We don't want someone to know something's wrong. We want them to think we're good people. We want them to think we have everything together. We don't want them to know we're liars and cheats and stealers and adulterers and murderers. But we are. And we already all know that about each other. How do you know that about me? Because the Bible says so. Because I know my own heart. It's not because I've hidden the camera somewhere in your house. It's because the Holy Spirit already knows, to use the language of the Lord Jesus, what was in a man, what was in a woman, so to speak, or what was in every boy and every girl. We don't share, so people don't pray. And we're robbed of help, and we're robbed of encouragement. we're foolish enough, like someone who's carrying a backpack that's too heavy and is bent over and they need help. And someone comes and says, can I help you carry your load? You say, no, I got it. And then they collapse. There's a reason the scriptures say in Galatians, bear one another's burdens. I want to consider that particularly, the need for prayer in relationship to office bearing. In some ways, I felt that may have been a little self-serving. After all, I'm an office bearer too, but I couldn't get away from it. Thinking and praying about what to preach on, Hebrews 13 kept coming back to mind. Hebrews 13 has some of the clearest statements about office bearing. Verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, that have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then beautifully to follow that, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then again, and further in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they might do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I was tempted to join and think about those passages, bring them before you as I have before, about the duty of the office bearers and your duty to office bearers and your oath as members in submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ and them. Sometimes I feel like the blessing of living in this place, Harrison, Arkansas, where things are so independent and we understand the need of responsibility, that sometimes we somehow think we don't need accountability or we don't need to submit ourselves to authority in the church. Every once in a while, things creep out that I don't have to submit to anyone because I'm free. And it's no, you are free in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you submit to him. But I've talked about those things previously. And the form did a much better job than I ever could succinctly explaining that. But what laid on my heart was prayer. Prayer for me. Prayer for Caleb. Prayer for Michael. Prayer for Brian. Prayer for Daniel. Prayer for Brandon. As we are doing our best to seek to serve you. And we need your prayers. To say nothing of those brothers who are now retiring and need, in the wisdom of our own church tradition, a bit of a break. I am convinced, congregation, from what I know of our history and what I know not only firsthand, but from what I have read in the history of our consistory minutes, part of the challenges we have faced is men who have served as elders and deacons have not had a proper break. Men need rest. To continue year after year after year after year in service is not good. That's why it's so important we give these men who have served proper rest. But what's amazing here about the text when it comes to, we could say, praying for the office bearers, because that's what it simply says in verse 18, pray for us. Who's us? He's talking about himself, his work in the ministry, but not himself alone. Those others who indeed are called to such work. Paul, if he indeed is the author to the Hebrews, he's talking about the other apostles. He's talking about the other men with him and his team of ministry. And even if it isn't Paul, if it's a man like Apollos, who was clearly called to serve. And it would seem that indeed they have in mind the elders of the church that he is writing to. After all, this is the language about the eldership when it comes to submission, when it comes to obedience, when it comes to care, when it comes to shepherding. The prayer is for the office bearers. Well, why? Why pray for the office bearers? After all, aren't they the ones that have everything figured out? Aren't they those ones that meet those qualifications in Timothy and Titus? Don't they have everything together? Aren't their family lives perfect? Aren't their spiritual lives perfect? They don't struggle against sin, do they? Why would you pray for them? I hope you note my tone demonstrates the folly of the words I am saying. The fact that indeed men are qualified for office is a miracle of God's grace, but even that is an ongoing battle. And indeed, when it comes to the simple fact that, like I mentioned, according to the scriptures, we're sinners too. And if you ever wonder if an office bearer is a sinner, here's a surefire way, besides turning to the scriptures, to find out if he is or not. Ask his wife. You'll find out right away. We need prayer. Pray for us because we need it. We need it. Do you feel you need prayer? And I hope to God you do, because you do. We need it just as much as you do. And my friend, if you don't think you need prayer, something is really wrong. Because it means you don't believe what the Bible says about you. Maybe you think, but I've got my life together now. I'm following the Lord Jesus now. I'm being more faithful now. You don't understand what a good person I am now. I'm not like I used to be. I don't need God anymore. Some people think that I was in trouble due to sin, and God saved me, and now it's up to me. That is a damnable heresy. God is the one who brings us from death to life spiritually. And he is always the one continuing to strengthen us, guide us, and lead us. He is the one, as the scriptures say, that has begun the good work and will bring it to completion. And we ought to be ever aware of our entire and total dependence on him for everything. We need God for every physical breath we take. And we need God for every single challenge we face in life. This is why he says, pray for us. This is why the Apostle Paul in his other letters constantly calls for prayer. This is why the church is constantly exhorted to pray for one another. We need it. You need it. We need it. But not just personally, in our own spiritual walks. But we could say further in regard to the work. And it's interesting, the focus of how the prayer is mentioned in verse 14. Pray for us. Why? For we trust to have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. That we would, like I just exhorted you, to live out our lives faithfully. And that's the beautiful thing, is the grace upholds, going back to those qualifications for elder, that these men are being sustained and they are noted for godliness. Not sinlessness, but godliness. But further, this is connected, we could say, to their work. Maybe moving on from them personally would say, but to their work. I beseech you the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. That I could come to you and minister the word of God to you. That I could come and visit and preach and teach in person and not write a letter. That I could be there with you and exercise my gifts in service. It's a very fitting thing to pray for. Not only for them individually, but to pray for them in their work, that they would be able to serve and do what they are called to do. Pray for the elders, that they would have time, energy, clarity of understanding, and the anointing of the Spirit to care for you, to instruct you, to teach you, to guide you, to help you, to pray for you as they're called to do. Just as you feel the need to pray for yourselves, for your family, for our nation, so pray for our congregation and pray for the office bearers in their work. And notice how this is tied not just to their personal need and not for the need of their work, but we could say in the context of their work, for the good of the people they're serving. That is, as it were, a third reason, perhaps, we could see one should pray for the office bearers. Because when it comes to the work of the office bearers, they are exhorted to receive. Remember them which have the rule over you, verse 7 of Hebrews 13, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And then again in verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. Submitting yourselves to them, so that they shouldn't be grieved, but they could serve with joy, for that is unprofitable, not valuable, not helpful for you. For you. Pray for your office bearers, that as you submit yourself to the Lord and to them, they would be able to carry out their work with joy. And that's valuable for you. Christ has given us to you to care for you and to help you, strengthen you. And if you will not encourage us, help us, and submit to us, that makes our work grievous. I know what it's like to have to chase people down spiritually because they don't want to be held accountable. That's not nice for anybody. It's not nice for anybody. But it's necessary. Unless you want to just run the Bible through a shredder. It's absolutely necessary biblically. It's undeniable. And what a blessing it is when we can all work together according to the principles of the Scripture. But the underlying reasoning is, not it's harder for the elders or harder for the deacon or harder for me, but it's not valuable for you. Pray for us because it's valuable for you. So we can do our work with joy, and you and we together can grow in Christ. Put it to you another way. Why should you pray for us? Why pray for the office bearers? Because personally they need it like you do. Because they need the Lord's help to do their work. And we could say, thirdly, it's for your good. When you do not pray for us, you rob yourselves of the Lord's blessing. That's why you should pray. But how? How do we pray? How do we pray for our office bearers? Well, notice what the text says. Pray for us. So, simple exhortation is to pray. But who is the one to pray? The answer is the people of the church are to pray. All of us, we are to pray. Boys and girls, it's not just your mom and dad who pray for the elders and deacons. You are too as well. And when do we pray? What times do we pray? Hopefully we pray around our dinner tables or around our beds at night or at another time in family worship. Or when we, as the Lord Jesus says, go into our inner closets and it's our own time away with the Lord. Or when a situation or a setting or a problem comes and the Lord, as it were, squishes prayer out of us as we have to cry out in the midst of the immediate circumstance. Simply put, the times when you pray, in addition to praying for yourselves, in addition to praying for your family, in addition to praying for the church generally, in addition to praying for our country, in addition to praying for our friends, in addition to praying for all the things we pray for, pray for the office bearers too. Pray for us. You pray. And all the times when you would normally pray and do so with purpose. Because as we all know, if you don't make a point of something, it doesn't get done. If you don't make a point of something, it doesn't get done. I was so encouraged and so thankful to see the photos that came through from Elder Mattson on the phone. As men just came to the church, took charge, and raised the roof. They found out at the male members meeting there was a problem. We got to get her done. So what do? Get her done. You get the wood, you get the tools, you get the know-how. We get her done. And that's ready to go. Didn't even have to skip a Sunday. Got to get her done. It's amazing how, though, when it comes to the Lord Jesus, family, prayer, all of a sudden the got to get her done just kind of... Just like we need to make spiritual things a priority, not just financial things a priority and practical things a priority, we need to make prayer a priority. We are to do it. When in the times of prayer we normally would, and to do it purposefully. To do it purposefully. Well, for what kinds of things ought we to pray? For what kinds of things ought we to pray? Well, we've already seen that we would personally continue to walk in faithfulness to the Lord, that we would do our work faithfully so that it would be profitable for you, that we would do it in joy. But what concrete type things to pray for your elders and your deacons? Well, a number of them present themselves. That they would be faithful to their wives. It's amazing how things go wrong very quickly in relationships. And it's essential for an office bearer to have a close and healthy relationship with his wife. I remember Dr. Beakey, one of my professors at the seminary and my pastor for years in Grand Rapids, said, when you're married and you're a minister, make sure people see you kiss your wife. My first thought would be no problem. But for him, it was very important because everybody needed to see that he, as the minister, had a healthy relationship with his wife and there was going to be no presentations of temptation. Heard about another brother in the ministry again this week. It's an old, old story. It wasn't a member of the choir. They have female deacons, and it was one of the female deacons. And now questions are being raised. It's important we stay faithful. Faithful to our wives as men. But also that we would stay faithful to the Lord. Pray that we would have blessed communion with the Lord ourselves with him. And that we would stay in his word. Because ironically enough, one of the easiest things to do, especially even for ministers and elders, is to close the Bible. You're so busy serving the Lord, you don't have time for your own personal reading and reflection, your own personal study. That has to be a discipline, a serious one. We could say, as the text would say, that we would be able to do our work with joy, that we have joy in this work, that we would have joy in ministering the word of God, that we would have joy in caring for you, that we would have joy in seeking to see God's kingdom come in the lives of our church family. Those are just a few. Think of ones quite practically. Time management. To know to make time to be with our wives, to make to be time with our children. Especially for the elders and the deacons. Please, especially for the elders and the deacons. These men do this work on top of full-time job plus their own hobbies and their own commitments to their families. I need it too, but this is all I do. And they do so much more. Pray for them. I would say pray for me. I'd be putting myself first, but they do so much more than I think that anyone knows. With so many responsibilities. Pray for them in their family life. Pray for their use of time. Simple guide. And this is helpful, I hope, for how we are to pray for one another. Pray for them the way you pray for yourself. Pray for them the way you pray for your family. You know your needs. You know your family's needs. They're not all that different. Like I mentioned to you in the very beginning, we're sinners too. We have families too. Romans 1 and Romans 3 is true of us. And just like you feel the burdens of your calling as mothers and fathers and what other particular callings you have, working with wood, working with numbers, working with people, working with chemicals, whatever it is, we feel those same kind of burdens. Pray for us. Pray for us. Congregation, in so doing, the church will grow. Maybe not in numbers, but the Lord certainly has blessed us with that, haven't he? It wasn't that long ago we paid off this building. We started a church plant down in Conway. And now we've even called a minister, and if he would accept, we could seek to organize them as their own congregation. And as I stand before you now, we're almost as full, if not more, than when we began the church plant. Wow. Numerical growth is something the Lord works in his own way, and it's not wrong to pray for it. But would there be that depth, that maturity, that trust, that interbody ministry the Word of God talks about? One thing about being away and coming back, one thing about being away, whether it was to New York or to Michigan, and to hear about how things went and this meeting without you and these different things carrying on, is to see how we're growing, working together. And as we pray for the office bearers and for each other, that will only grow. And it's important to remember this exhortation, this concluding call to prayer, we could say, along with all the other beautiful exhortations and theology in Hebrews 13, is all part of one beautiful growing argument and crescendo of how Christ is greater. Christ is greater than the angels. Christ is greater than Moses. Christ is greater than Aaron. Christ is greater than the temple. Christ is greater than everything. And that's why those things have all been shaken away. But why the chapter itself says so beautifully and simply, in the context of exhortations about office bearing and marriage and family, what does it say in verse 8? Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And as he brings this chapter and this book to a conclusion, dealing with the practical need of prayer, what does he say? As he gets done saying, "But I beseech you the rather that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus." Boys and girls, do you recognize these words? I end almost every other worship service with them as a blessing. "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect or complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through glory, or rather through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." When we are praying for one another, when you pray for the office bearers, it is not simply a duty. We are not simply casting on for you something more to do, as if in your own might you would check things off a box, but that we self-consciously know, self-consciously feel, that as we bear one another's burdens in prayer, particularly this morning as you are called to pray for the office bearers, we are doing so all according to the fullness of the work of Christ, and that he will help us in this. There's a reason we're not praying for prophets and priests and kings this morning, and that reason is Jesus has come. So we pray for elders and we pray for deacons. But the same God of the Old Testament who has fully and completely revealed himself through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ, infallibly recorded in the New, is the one who calls us to pray and directs us to him in it. Amen. Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, our great Heavenly Father, we thank thee. We thank thee for prayer. We thank thee that thou art a God that hears prayer. And we thank thee, Lord, that we may pray for one another, and especially this morning that the congregation would pray for their office bearers. Continue to guide us, Lord, and help us. Continue to instruct us and continue to lead us. And we thank thee for every good blessing, and we beseech thee for more, and that thou would forgive our sins. In Jesus' name, amen.